All right.
Yep.
Welcome, 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 everyone. It is Thursday night. We are your fun crew, you warriors, you. And we're here to talk about comics and things that are make believe that get you out of reality because everybody needs it every once in a while. So,
Especially today.
yeah. Lots of crazy, so let's focus on the fun instead. So, speaking of fun, I'm gonna be in Erie this weekend for Erie Comic Con or Comic Con Erie. Sorry, Comic Con Erie. So stop by. I'll be in the promo hallway. I'm the last thing on the right, before the panel rooms. I'll have some $3 stuff. I have graphic novels, manga, toy or Funko, and then I do have some pricey books. But just note that tomorrow I gotta leave to come back to Pittsburgh for a meeting. It's 7. So I'm gonna leave a little early. I have some people that are gonna watch the booth, but I am taking the pricey books with me. So don't look for them tomorrow night. They'll be there till about 4. So they'll be there for the for like 2 hours, and then I'm bouncing and but I'll be there the rest of the weekend with them, I promise. So come on up and hang out, say hi. If you got anyone wants to go to dinner, let me know. It'll be a lot of fun. So next weekend is Batman Day on Saturday. So come on and hang out and celebrate Batman with us. I'm a Batman fan. But I like specific Batman. I am a big Dick Grayson as Batman guy. I liked Azrael a lot. I just was never like a big Bruce guy, which is weird.
Considering he is the main Batman,
Right,
usually.
right, right, right. And I think I always thought that was weird that I loved everybody but Bruce. Whatever, it's cool. No worries on it. So, there's that. Then the last weekend of the month, I'll be at Canton for Hall of Fame Comic Con. So come out and check that out. And then we have Retro Gaming PGX coming up, which is going to be a lot of fun. I'll be at there with my Star Trek guys. Then Justin and I will be in New York, and then I'm going to be in Baltimore. It's going to be a lot of fun for the next crazy couple weeks. Shout out to my mother-in-law, who totally will never watch this or listen to it, but she gave me an early birthday present. We went mini golfing and stuff. My wife, my mother-in-law, and her boyfriend went mini golfing and arcade playing and duckpin bowling stuff up at Fun for All in Cranberry yesterday, and she bought me an electric lawnmower that I wanted, and I'm super pumped about it. So
Nice.
I am super super pumped about it, because my old one was about to die. So
Yeah.
yeah. So oh, anything else going on in your world?
Well, was it the this weekend is an all weekend working at the store. I think the weekend after I will be on the way to my mother-in-law. It's her 80th birthday, so we are spending the entire next week, or not next week, the week after next. Over at her place, so
Fun.
yeah, it should be fine.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. Yeah,
Yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be
it'll
fine.
be fine.
It'll be
It's a giant family gathering. I'm going to have I'm going to do my best to have fun.
Yay, having fun. Speaking of fun, we had a lot of fun at Toon Fusion last weekend.
We did.
So for those of you guys who came, cool. Thanks for stopping by. For those of you who didn't, it was I kind of put the show in a weird mix between like Techco and Steel City. But
That's it. Yeah,
like
it's more.
because like there were a lot of guests, and a lot of the guests were mostly anime voice actors. There were some cartoon voice actors as well, which was great. But there weren't a ton of vendors or a ton of artists, but the panels were filled for the most part. and people were in the room. Like, we were pretty steady the whole weekend, which was nice. I really appreciate everybody who stopped by. I thought the show was a lot of fun. So they're coming back next year. Will we be there? I don't know yet. We haven't thought about that far into the future yet. So we'll see. So also a reminder, make sure you're following at New Dimension Comics and at Three Rivers, three digit three Rivers Comic Con. As we're getting into heavier social media season with announcements and sales and all kinds of crap. So make sure you check that out. Speaking of sales, local comic shop day is the last Saturday of the month when I'm in Canton. All of our dollar books are half off, just so you know. Okay.
Wonderful.
Well, with that said, let's talk about some comics. All right, my first book is Redcoat 14. This is where Simon is. It's a prelude to the first Ghost. So it starts out in 1814 when the White House is burning. And Simon happened to be in there to play poker with the chef because James Madison was out of town. And someone or and Cockburn and his troops lit the building on fire and had a lot of crazy shit. And anyway, he's running out and he runs into James Madison's wife, who is running into the blaze to save a giant portrait of George Washington, which she does. Simon's like, I don't know why you're doing this, but whatever, because he was kind of a douche, because he was in the Revolutionary War with him. She was just trying to tell him that, it doesn't matter what you think, he was a great guy, blah, blah, blah. So they run into Cockburn. They have a big fight. There's a awesome moment where Mrs. Madison like smashes a bottle of wine over Cockburn's face. They escape the White House from burning. They get the portrait to the Americans, I guess, and they talk about how they remember his courage, his restraint, his flaws even. And that they would need to do this to carry on forward with the country and the ideas. And that is kind of why Simon's like, ah, oh, fine, this is fine. But then you get to see the first ghost because a giant bolt of lightning hits the White House as the rain is putting out the fire, right? And the first ghost is George Washington. So I'm kind of interested to see how that pans out. So anyway, then the very end is you fast forward to today, and it's like a female president, and that painting is still in the White House, and her son's looking at these other paintings, and she's like, "Who the hell is this guy?" And there's no plaque, no nothing. And she says, "Well, Dolly Madison, the rumor is that he helped Dolly Madison rescue the George Washington portrait." So therefore, she insisted that the mysterious man have his own painting on the wall. And then the kid's like, "Why is he dressed like a pirate?" And she said, "Well, one theory is that he was an American spy who infiltrated Cockburn's forces, dressing as a redcoat. Others say he was cursed, unable to leave the country until it became what it could be." Stuff like that. So it was very interesting to have him kind of, have them talk about this fact that there's a portrait of Simon on the. On the wall. Overall, I really liked this book. It was a nice prelude into the first ghost storyline. It went very quick. It had some historically accurate shit, like the White House being on fire and Dolly Madison, saving that portrait, which actually did happen. And Cockburn was the guy who lit everything on fire. So I thought it was very good. I'm giving it a 10 out of 12 because the art's still fantastic, the writing is still solid, and I'm really interested to see how this first ghost storyline goes on.
All right, we have Batman number 12.
Absolute Batman number
Absolute
12.
Batman 12. Sorry, we have too many Batman books with just Batman in it. But
You're not wrong.
yeah. Yeah, this is kind of where we left off, where Batman is saved by Croc, who is, as you can see in the cover there, is mutated into an actual Croc. The mutation on this is like really, really cool because he looks kind of more dinosaur than actual crocodile, which, you
Okay.
know, they're similar style, but it's a cool mutation. He does talk. He did save bats from the torture chamber and everything because Bane was torturing him.
Right.
Batman was like, "You saved me." He was like, "Well, now you save me." And he tries to kill himself. And Batman's like, "No, I'm not letting you kill yourself." And he's like, "We can fix this, blah, blah." And he just swims away in the sewers. And then Bruce wakes up and Pennyworth is looking after him. But you see all these scars in Bruce and everything. And what they did to him, like when they were torturing him, was basically like his entire system has venom running through it.
Yeah.
Like you can see it in his, like, there's like a back shot of him, and you can see it like up his spine, through his muscles. You see like veins of venom pumping through him. And Bruce is fighting against it. He just wants to see his mom. His mom didn't know where he was. She's crying, slaps him. And then she's like, "I thought you were going to be like the others." And he's like, "What do you mean?" And you get to see what happened to everybody else. Bane apparently broke Oz's every bone in Oz's body to the point where it's so like, and he repeatedly broke every bone to the point where you could see like the penguin-esque blob of humanity that is left in the hospital. As well as you see Harvey, who he burned half of them, you know, hence Two-Face. And then you see Riddler, where he had his entire head like surgically removed. So you see his brain exposed. And he has his brain hooked up to all these wires and everything. Everybody's pretty much messed up and broken. Bruce is losing his mind because he's like, he broke all my friends. And Alfred and Bruce go and Bruce as Batman go looking for Bane in his headquarters, where Alfred gets caught off guard, and we see
Okay.
Selina, who we haven't seen at all. And apparently, you know, Bane messed her up too, I guess, maybe. We don't know yet. But that's her intro into the end of the book, and that is the end of it. It's really good. You see where all his friends are, you know, their new origins of how they got disfigured and how they got to be where they're at. It's great that Bane's the cause of it all. That's really cool. Still waiting to see like how Bruce deals with having all that venom running through his veins. I will give this book a good, I'll give it 11 out of 12 because it seemed to go by really fast.
Okay.
But it's still really solid. I'm seeing where they're going with this. I can't wait. Like, we haven't even seen the Joker yet. Like, truly the Joker. Like, we've seen bits and pieces of him in the shadows, but this is, I can't wait to see what if he Joker is brought into this like storyline, because having Bane do this to everybody was brilliant. So.
That is pretty cool. All right. My next book, which also has a green cover, is The Undead Iron Fist, number one. So if you didn't read the other Iron Fist stuff, he get killed by Chai Lin in the last series. This series starts out with Luke Cage going to his grave. There's a part of this blows my mind, and I'm like, what the hell?
Is this like
So
Marvel Zombies or is this like
no, no, no,
something?
no, no. He's just back from the dead, in like a supernatural costume. It doesn't really explain quite everything yet, but it does some stuff. So anyway, Mayor Luke Cage comes to Danny's grave, and he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I haven't been here. Oh, I'm sorry, buddy." Blah blah blah. And then he's like, "Wait a minute, you're gone." And he looks up, and there's a big fucking hole in front of the goddamn, cemetery plot. And I'm just like, so how did he not know this? Did he not see this when he walked up? He's like fallen on his knees at one point, and I'm just like, what the hell? Anyway, so that he totally says a sweet Christmas, and then it cuts to Danny walking into New York. And then it keeps going back and forth between the Earth Danny and the Underworld Danny. So he goes up to this house because he knows that there's demons that are possessing these people in this house. Cuts to the underworld where he is now climbing this wall for months. And he gets to the top of it, and there's a giant dragon in there. Surprise, no one. Cuts back to the current world where he's fighting this demon, like this possessed family, but he's the only one that can see the demons. So everybody thinks he's beating up on this old family, like, because one's like an old lady. They're just like, I have you on video. This, you're crazy, blah, blah, blah. So then Miles Morales shows up at the end of it, and Danny's run into the sewer. So Miles goes after him. And at one point, like, Danny and the demons are invisible, so he uses a venom blast on the water that because he can see the footprints and he can see all of the demons for a second. And he's just like, what the hell? So Danny beats the shit out of all the demons, and then because Miles won't get off his back, he punches him in the face with a giant uppercut. It's beautiful. So that he's continually looking for more of the demon family. And at the end, he's still hunting demon family, but in the underworld, he actually runs into Orson Randall, who was the Iron Fist before him in the underworld. So, and our Orson goes, are you ready to learn your first lesson of the Book of Iron Fist? He goes, everything we learned was a lie, and that's where it says to be continued. I had a lot more fun with this book than I thought I would, but it moved weird. Like, it wasn't, because it kept going back and forth, it was a little hard to follow at moments. But I love the art. The art's really, really good in it. So for that, I'm gonna give it a 10 out of 12. As a first issue, it really kicked it out the gate. I thought that the writing was solid, but again, it had a couple hiccups, but the art was just fantastic. And I'm kind of interested to see where it goes. So,
All right, we got the Blue Falcon and Dino-Mutt, number one. It starts out with Blue Falcon fighting against an army of flying creatures defending the Earth, and then we find out it's just a dream, and he wakes up and he's. in bed with Dino, and Falcon. Just he's talking to Dino as Dino's helping him get dressed in the morning and everything, just doing what normal guys do, like when they get dressed, you know. He's talking about his girlfriend, this girlfriend they have, and he's like, I know, he even tells the dog, he's like, this doesn't change. You're my number one. And the dog just starts, goes woof, agreeing with him. And his girlfriend, and they have like they meet up and they have breakfast together and they do some little kissy action. And then we move on in the book and we see where his lab is. Well, or at least the building where the lab is. And he's be he there's a scientist named Rudy who's fixing up a chip, made a microchip for his outfit, for his gear. We see like the inner layer, the secret layer, while Rudy is leaving the building. Falcon was basically kind of just saying, hey, I know I put you through some paces, but I didn't know you were good for this job, so you're gonna get paid, triple what I'm currently giving you, and this, that, and the other. And Rudy's so excited, but then he remembers, oh shit, apparently he owed like some mobsters money, and he was gonna let them like raid the building or the lab. They beat up, well, they don't beat up Rudy so much as like they scare him to the point where he pisses himself and passes out.
Nice.
Meanwhile, Blue Frog is put the chip in his belt. He now flies, and he's like testing his suit out and everything. And as they're on top of the building, Dino senses something going on, so he goes running down the stairs, and Falcon's like, wait, Dino, what are you doing? And you hear bang bang, and the gangsters came in to the building, shot Dino, so you see Dino there bleeding, which that hurts the heart a little bit. So basically that just sets off Blue Falcon, and he goes John Wick on these guys hardcore. Like you see him, he just beats the piss out of him, which I think we would all do that if you shoot our dog. And then we see the end where Blue is talking to Dino as he's trying to take him to a hospital, to a vet or a hospital or something. And that's the end of issue one. I like this. This was pretty cool. I vaguely remember Blue Falcon and Dinomutt in the
Hanna-Barbera universe.
Hanna-Barbera universe, but it was more the Hanna-Barbera race, the races.
Oh, yeah,
That
the
that's
wacky races.
wacky races. And that's the only time I can recall Blue Falcon and Dinomutt. Like I never watched it. And I think he was in Scooby-Doo maybe at once at one point in time, because they
Oh,
all did
yeah,
Scooby-Doo,
probably.
but I thought this was pretty interesting. As somebody who doesn't completely know everything about Blue Falcon and Dinomutt, I thought this was pretty interesting. So I'll give it a solid 11 out of 12. It was a little slow, but I think we have to start from the beginning. So this was pretty
Cool.
cool.
Yeah, I dig it. I always liked Blue Falcon and Dinomutt. I always liked those Hanna-Barbera guys. All right, my next book is Murder Podcast, which is why this episode's called Not a Murder Podcast. So this is the new Jeremy Hahn book. This is, I think, the first book that Ignition Press has put out. And it's real good. It starts out with this lady, she is finishing up a an actual murder podcast, and this new podcast called Dead Sounds comes up afterwards, and she's like, huh, okay, I'm in. We'll check it out. So she's listening to it, and as she listens to it, she starts speaking the words to it as it actually is saying it. Her husband comes in and is like looking for a shirt, and she stabs him in the neck with a fucking giant like kitchen knife, and then beats him to death with a like mixing bowl. And then once it's over, she's like, what happened? And she's freaking out. Then it cuts to these five friends: Mina, Renee, Josie, Alice, and Blythe. Or Bleeth. Bleeth? Bleeth. And they're all having coffee together, and they're talking about the killer killing season finale, which was the podcast that the wife who was murdering finished beforehand. So they all kind of talk about that, and then one of them's wife, girlfriend, comes over and starts talking about the murder of the girl with the baking bowl or mixing bowl. And they all kind of go their separate ways, and then the one girl's like, well, I'm gonna go up to this coffee shop and do some work, whatever. So while she's there, she's like, can I make a podcast about the current death that happened in the in town? And they're all like, no, don't do it. No, don't do it. She meets the barista, who happens to be the owner. They kind of have a little flirtation thing. She fucks it up pretty bad, and she's like, dumb, 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 never going back there again, ever. So as she's texting her friends about what to do, or to say, like, don't ever let me go back there again, she sees a guy listening to headphones beat the shit and crush this dude's head into a wall. And he's doing the same thing. He's listening to that other podcast. The guy attacks him. He is on top of her, about to beat her head in with his fist, and that is where it ends. I really dug this because it was so creepy and weird. And I know so many people that listen to murder podcasts that I'm just like, yeah, I can see them totally, buying into it and actually doing it at some point, and that would suck real bad, but it's a thing. I also really like Jeremy Hahn's Beauty that had come out, which is getting a sequel series on Ignition Press. And if you don't know, Ignition Press is run by Philip, and he was the guy who ran Boom for Ross Ritchie. So he, like, him and Ross were the two guys of the publisher. I really enjoy a lot of the stuff they do. They put out great work. So I'm looking forward to more Ignition Press stuff. I'm giving this book an 11 out of 12. And I'm only giving it an 11 out of 12 because I thought that the scene with the friends could have been played out a little bit better to understand them each a little more, but it was fine. Other than that, everything else is good. The art is all the same as the cover style there. And it's just creepy and weird, and I love it.
All right, we got Ultimate Wolverine number 9. We get to see the Sentinels finally
Cool.
in this universe, and they look very similar, but the main difference is there's pieces, or well, the one we see at the beginning of the book is being built by Forge, which we finally get to meet Forge. So the Ultimate Forge right there, and he has like two little mechanical arms sticking out the side helping him work.
Oh.
So that was kind of cool. Like, I
So he's
love the
like
little,
Spiral Forge.
yeah, he's it's kind of interesting, to see this little differences in the universe here in the Ultimate Universe over the 616. He's building the Rebellion crew, a Sentinel, as a Trojan horse to get into the one main lab. So they get there and they do sneak in, but it doesn't last for very long. We see like other sentinels patrolling. Logan sees the good doctor and just basically loses it going at, straight after her, which he has every right to. So it's pretty much like the whole the rest of the book is him chasing after her and her just squeaking by, basically because there's two sentinels and they the sentinels that the what's the I want to say the Rasputin sentinels, I guess, if calling them that. They have mutants inside of them, like messed up pieces. This is where you see Cyclops. You just see Cyclops' head inside one of the sentinels, so he can use his optic blast. So you see this optic blast coming out of the middle of the sentinel, and it's Cyclops' head doing it. So of course, you know, Wolverine destroys them, as Wolverine does. The doctor escapes, but they decide to destroy the whole base. So they're win for the resistance. But yeah, this is getting kind of interesting now that he's not under their control and there's nothing they can do about it. Because the doctor is scared out of her mind, and I think the Rasputin crew is slowly getting worried here. But yeah, it was solid, very quick though, super quick. So I will give it 11 out of 12 just because it seemed very short to me.
Awesome.
But it was a fun book. I love the art; just gets me every time here. So
Right. No, that's awesome.
my buddy, our third co-host, decides to come up here. He's down for the lap time here.
Nice. The finale of this third season finale of Star Trek's Deep Space or Stranger Worlds was this week. Was today, and it was phenomenal. It wrapped up the whole season together into one beautiful, beautiful, beautiful piece. And sets up actually the 5-year journey of exploration that the classic series is known for, right? So it kind of kicks things to the point where I think season 5, because we still gotta get through season 4, but I think in season 4 we're gonna see James Kirk come to the Enterprise instead of just having Pete, his brother, there. And then I think in season 5 it's actually going to be James that takes over, or that's all going to happen in season 5, and then we're going to see a new version of this with James Kirk, like almost like new version of original series. Because there's like a great moment in this episode where Spock and Kirk do a mind meld. And then they like, we're gonna be friends in the future. Like Spock says it, we're gonna be friends. And he's just like, yeah. And then he tells him to call him Jim. And it's like really like, oh man. And the dude who plays Kirk is awesome. Not
Is it?
nothing against the guy playing Pike, because holy crap, is he awesome. And I really love his hair, and I want his hair.
Isn't this week the when Star Trek debuted?
Yeah.
And actually, it's
So
also the week that Masters of the Universe debuted as well, the
it is.
cartoon. Yeah, so.
Star Trek is 59 years old.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Masters of the Universe is 42.
Correct. Also it is 9/11, so I
Yeah.
will
Shout out
remind
to all
people,
the
yeah.
9/11 survivors,
Yep. And
all those who
everybody who
served like during
Yep.
that time, all the
Like,
families and everything.
I still remember what I was doing that day. And I had the huge relevant revelation, I guess, of so when I'm talking to my younger fraternity guys who are now in college, I have to realize now that none of them were alive for 9/11. And it blows my mind. Like, some of them might have been just born, like zero, but most of them are now older that or younger than
Than younger than
9/11
nine
what
eleven,
happened.
yeah. Yeah,
So it's a very,
we just had
it's
what, the ceremony down at
a, yep,
Somerset.
at Flight 93, yep. There was one at the Pentagon and there was one at Ground Zero, which reminds me, we should probably go there this time when we go up to New York. We should probably try to find some time to go to Ground Zero. I think that would be very cool of us to do that. Also, a reminder, guys, next week, the podcast is going to be probably in the morning because I have a concert to go to at night. Sorry. But Dream Theater is playing their entire new record, and I'm going to see it at the Benidorm. So, yeah, going to be a good time. Don't forget, we also have a lot of concerts that we're giving away tickets for in general. So if you're interested in that, check out a, go out to the Mills and check that out.
Yeah, what is it? Bruce Dickinson
Bruce Dickinson
solo.
is n this coming Saturday. So,
Yeah.
which if I were not going to be at Erie, I would be there.
Yeah.
But I am going, and I just got tickets for Judas Priest and Alice Cooper in
Ooh.
October. I've never seen Alice Cooper, so this will be kind of cool.
Yeah.
So me and my buddy and his brother are all going. It's out at Star Lake. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, also good luck to our buddy Jeff down at Arkham Gift Shop on his move. He's moving the shop at the end of the month over to the backside of Terminus Games over by North Park. Jeff's a great guy. He runs a really good shop. Go check it out. Go support him. Buy some stuff so he doesn't have to move so much. Or check it out when he opens it up. It's a good time. It's gonna be right by North Park. It's gonna be on the backside of Terminus though. So just make sure you have to go around back to check it out. Also don't forget this Saturday is Eddie Peacon in West Mifflin. There's a bunch of cool artists that are coming in for it. If we weren't doing Erie, I would probably set up there. But unfortunately we had kind of committed to Erie ahead of time before we knew about Eddie Peacon's date. So go check it out. It's gonna be a lot of fun too. It's only a couple hours down in West Mifflin. So I think that's all we got. This might be just like a short episode this week.
Yeah, there wasn't too much going on, like pop culture wise. There's a lot going on current events, but we're going to stay away from
Right.
and
The only
so
thing we will say about that is violence gets no one anything. So we are very much so anti-violent. Anti-violence and talking through stuff is the better way to do it. So that's all we'll say about that. Because a lot of people lost lives this week. And we're on 9/11, which brings back a lot of memories for other people, so we're gonna just leave it at that. Other than that, I don't have anything else. You have anything else?
I have nothing else really. Yeah, let's just have
Okay.
a good weekend. Stay safe.
Absolutely. So, like I said, if you're up in Erie, I'll be up there most of the day, or some of the day Friday tomorrow. But I will be up there all weekend, Saturday and Sunday. I'll be there the whole time. So come on up, give me a high five. It'll be a good time. That's about it. We will catch you guys, next week again. Remember, it's going to be early in the morning. We will see you then. Later.